T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Well, it's not like I was trying to say I told you so, but I did tell you so. And I've been saying it for the past 2-3 months. Hello and welcome. This is Straight Up with Sturge. Willie P and Diesel here with you on a Wednesday, the 6th day of November 2019. It is the day after we find out the first college football playoff rankings. Plenty to get to today. We'll dive into Clemson's first loss of the season and first game of the season against Virginia Tech. Wofford and Furman winners last night, and I just did get some confirmation from our good friend Jay McCauley that he is a proud papa now twice over. We find out from the head coach as little Charlotte McCauley is now in our lives for the first time, just a couple of hours after his first career college basketball victory, as, of course, Wofford beat Erskine last night. Furman gets a big road win at Gardner-Webb. Plenty to get to with all that. And of course, Clemson's game last night. South Carolina has its lid lifter this evening. They take on North Alabama at Colonial Life Arena. Again, Charlotte, they're going to call her Charlie Pearson McCauley. Fantastic stuff for Jay McCauley and the folks at Wofford. Great win for Bob Ritchie and his Paladins. Disappointment for the Tigers.
Did you say they're going to call her Charlie?
Yes, they're going to call her Charlie.
Charlie McCauley?
Charlie McCauley. That's okay. Pretty cool. Are you approving or disproving?
I'm not anything. I'm asking the question.
You were asking for as a way of clarification. Charlie McCauley. I think that's so cute.
Because in my mind, I think I heard Charlie McCauley.
No.
And I was like, I have to clarify this.
Charlie McCauley. Very, very good stuff for Coach McCauley and the Wofford Terriers, who again win last night. Great win for the Paladins. Great win for the Tigers. Or great loss for the not great loss, but. Virginia Tech defeats Clemson. We'll talk about that and what it meant for Mike Young to get his first victory with the Hokies. And as we said, Gamecocks tonight against North Alabama. But the big news we found out last night, a little bit after 9:30, after that Champions Classic game ran long. By the way, if there is no more evidence that you need other than me yelling and whining about it, it's watching that basketball last night, why we don't need high-level basketball games in the first week of November, because, Lord, all the basketball I watched last night on the collegiate level was sinful to watch. It was sinful. And I'm not talking about sinful like death by chocolate. It was bad. All bad. Not very, very good. I stand to reason that this is not something we should be doing at this point of the year. But that's just me. Be that as it may, the bigger news, of course, comes with the college football playoff rankings, which we found out for the first time last night. And like we told you on Monday and Tuesday and last week and on my blog on ESPNUpstate.com and over the last couple of months, for some reason, hands up in the air, for some reason, those inside the college football glitterati, whether it's the committee, whether it's the people inside the Associated Press, whether it's Bill Hancock, whether it's the conference commissioners of the other four Power Five leagues, whoever it is, there is a negative agenda out to get Clemson and out to keep them away from the big boy table in the world of college football and by extension the ACC. I know people are going to say the same thing that they say every year, is that the rankings in the first week do not matter and that they basically will change their mind 5,000 times. And if LSU loses or Alabama loses or Ohio State loses head-to-head with Penn State or Penn State loses, Clemson's going to have it all work out the way it needs to and they'll be in the four and it'll be fine. But what I think we saw yesterday was more of a outline of the footprint that they are trying to create. and that is that they are not going to stand for this one team carrying the conference banner mold. For whatever reason, Clemson gets shafted for playing a bunch of also-rans inside their conference schedule when they tried like hell to play at a conference teams that were representative, including South Carolina, who's on their schedule, Texas A&M, who's previously on their schedule, also happened to be on Alabama's schedule. It's funny when you look at Alabama and you look at Clemson and you look at their schedules and you see what they've played over the course of this season, I don't see anybody on that schedule that looks darned impressive. This is who Alabama has played in their conference to this point. South Carolina, dog do. Mississippi, dog do. At Texas A&M, not the same team that they usually are. Home Tennessee, home Arkansas, all crap. Now, do those programs that I mentioned just now have more experience and prestige historically than the programs inside the ACC? Absolutely. But their current value right now is not greater than what Alabama brings to the table, or that, or what, and what Clemson's opponents bring to the table, I should say. I had no problem with Clemson being ranked fifth. The fact that Alabama is two slots ahead leads me to believe that there is some sort of negative agenda against Clemson. Georgia, sitting there at six, with two undefeated teams floundering in the 12th spot and the 17th spot when they lost to unranked South Carolina. Yes, I'm going to sit here and I'm going to just dump on South Carolina right now. That is a bad loss now. It was always a bad loss, but it is a bad loss. I don't care if they beat Florida. Florida's a 7-2 team now. But it's all a self-fulfilling prophecy, and it's all part of this jargon that they like to throw out when it comes to strength of record and all that. And this is, again, why I do not like the sport of college football more than I like the NFL. Because in the NFL, wins and losses don't have personalities. They are strictly numbers. There is not a good win or a bad win or a good loss or a bad loss. It is just a win or it is just a loss. If you win and you have more wins than the other teams in your division, you go to the playoffs. And if you have more wins than any other team that's not a division winner, one of those two teams, you go to the wild card. It's relatively simple. There's no intrigue. There's no consternation. There's no, oh, we stubbed our toe and really deserved a second look and we had people injured. Nope. It's all lack of personality. But that's not the way college football works. And that's what makes college football great. I even said it before you wanted to say it. Jerk face. And it just, this whole thing is just, it's, they change the rules every year, sometimes week to week. What's important this week is not important the next week. And for some reason, Clemson's this rag doll right now. And I don't think it's right. And people are saying things like, oh, well, it's all going to work out. Do you know that? Do you know that? What happens when Baylor runs a table, beats Texas and Oklahoma, wins the Big 12? What if we're sitting there with Ohio State undefeated, LSU undefeated, Clemson undefeated, Baylor undefeated? And then a one-loss team who might have just, you know, one loss to a good team. Are you really sure that they're going to put Clemson in there with how much they're disrespecting them right now? I'm not. Because I don't trust this committee. And I don't think it's right. I think Clemson's being unfairly slighted for things that they can't control.
I think you're wrong.
Oh.
I think you're wrong. Are you putting it past the College Football Playoff Committee to be little weasels and intentionally build intrigue and consternation for no other reason other than to get people talking? That's the only reason that we've seen them do it in the past. We've seen teams, both of them, like 1, 2, 3, that are just curb stomping everybody on their schedule. Yet for some reason they flip flop them in a week in the College Football Playoff rankings. It's happened before. The whole point is to create the intrigue and to get people talking about it because they know that two of these teams have to lose at least one game.
I respond to you with what I'm saying right now, is that if you need to create that intrigue, if you need to create that artificial panache, if that's what this sport needs to survive, then why in the world does it exist? Why does it exist the way that it does? Why do they need artificial panache and artificial hype? The hype should just be in itself. You should want to see LSU and Alabama play regardless of whether or not they're one or two or three or four or two or five or whatever. You should want to see Ohio State and Penn State play regardless of where they're ranked. Because, again, they are undefeated. The records should speak for themselves. And if it was up to me, I wouldn't have the rankings come out until the end of the season. I wouldn't care. I wouldn't have a selection show. I wouldn't have this. I wouldn't have all this garbage because it's just all it is. It's just garbage and fluff.
Well, sure it is. It's a show.
Of course.
It's a show. There's no reason why the selection show on ESPN has to be an hour long.
It's not.
There's no reason. 10 minutes, 15 minutes, tops.
Remember,
give me a quarter hour to go through the top 25. That's all it takes.
Remember a couple of years ago when they messed with the NCAA tournament selection show and they just told you all 68 teams, but they didn't tell you where they were. And then they spent a good 45 minutes unveiling the brackets with all the chatter and talk and whatnot. You remember how the rating for that was like the lowest rating for the selection show ever?
It was a disaster.
It was awful. And people were complaining. Twitter was a mess.
Because people want the intrigue.
No.
They want it.
No.
There's a reason why they sit and watch an hour show every single week because they want it.
That's not the point. That's not the point that I'm at. That's not the point that I'm making. The next year, they went back to the old way that they did it. They revealed all four brackets, all four regions. They revealed the bracket right off the bat, took a break. Revealed another bracket, took a break. Revealed another bracket, took a break. It was done within 15 minutes. That's the point. Is that nobody really gives a damn what the actual rankings are on the 6th of November. I give a damn what it is on the first Sunday in December. That's when I care.
They do it this way because they know people will sit and watch for an hour. Because people are so hungry to consume media about this playoff that they will sit and watch for an hour. And they can make money off of that.
I know the reason behind. I'm not saying it. I'm throwing knives into the fact that if the product was so good, it would be able to sell itself. Diesel is the problem. Is that the college football needs this? They need the intrigue. The product is not good enough to stand on its own, and that's the problem I have. Is that there aren't enough elite teams for them to justify this four-team to justify an expansion. So they fudge the rankings a little bit, and they'll put them around as pawns and turn Clemson into this political pawn and say, oh, well, you know, they're not as good as they might be this year because they will only beat North Carolina by 1 point. When everyone knows that's a load of crap. They're defending national champions. They've got the quarterback back. They got all the wide receivers back. They got the running back back. They got a defensive player who's going to be an All-American. It's all garbage. Garbage.
Only one thing that you just said has no bearing on it. Defending national champions. That doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
I know it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. It shouldn't matter, and that's the problem with college football and the way they rank teams is they look at the strength of your program and the prestige of your program, and you get brownie points for that when you shouldn't.
I have the College Football Playoff Committee stooge, what's his name? Rob Mullins, the Oregon athletic director. I'm not going to play it. I'm not going to play it because I don't want to hear from him. I'd rather hear from Rick because this whole thing is stupid. It's contrived. It makes no sense. It's fake. It is fake news. And Clemson is being held to a stupid standard. What the heck do you expect them to do? Honestly. Like, what more do you want Clemson to do? And here's the other thing. If you're going to say beat North Carolina by more than 1 point, guess what? That is just a convenient thing. That's a convenient excuse for the committee to not put them up there. Because guess what? If they'd have beaten North Carolina by 40, they'd have found another reason. because all this stuff is made up. It's garbage. It's terrible for the game, in my opinion. It doesn't create intrigue. It creates crap. And it makes college football fans sound stupid. Because we say things about college football that we don't say about any other level of football. We don't say it about the NFL. We don't say it about high school. We don't say it about Pop Warner, 7-on-7, 8-man, all this garbage. It's baloney. It's terrible. It's awful. We should go back to the BCS. Put it on the computers. I don't care. Rick is on the line. He wants to chat. 844-GSP-ESPN. Hello, Rick.
Hey, Will, I love your show. You're as mad as I am.
Thank you.
But you forget the one person that's got more control over the SEC and all those teams than anybody. Paul Dumbo Feinbaum.
Oh, you know.
He's on his show. He's ranting and raving. He's got a lot of pull, Will. That's the person that's causing all this.
I don't think he has that much power.
He's got a lot of pull, Will.
I know he does. And I know Paul personally. I helped get Paul on for the first time in Missouri when he was on earlier. And I seem to think that he is a reasonable individual. He is somebody who is trapped by a lot of his biases, trapped by a lot of the things that he needs to do to further the agenda for the league network that he works on. I know it's a lot of money in that. But guess what? The ACC has a network now, too. The ACC is giving money to ESPN, too, now. So it's not as if we're sitting here and saying that the ACC didn't bring anything to the table. Clemson brings part of the table. I don't really understand why they get cast away because of the fact that they just don't have the same kind of conference. And again, this is why I wrote the blog the other day about why Florida State needs to get this higher right for no other reason other than the fact that Clemson is never going to get any credit. And we're going to have a year where Clemson is going to have opportunities to get to the playoff, and it gets bashed away by this clown show community and this clown show committee. The whole thing's a racket. I find it terrible. Is this Gene or Jean? Gene?
Gene.
Gene is on the line. Gene wants to talk with us on ESPN Upstate. Hello, Gene.
Hi. I just have a comment about the whole rankings thing. For football, baseball, basketball, whatever the sport is, I think all of the rankings are ridiculous because it really doesn't matter what your ranking is till the last game of the season. So giving any time to this conversation to me is ridiculous to start with because it doesn't matter. You know, for the Clemson thing, it's only going to matter when they select the final four teams for that championship round. So that's the only time that it's going to matter, just like for any of the other, the basketball and everything else. It only matters when they start selecting the teams for the playoffs.
You just got told to sit down, Will.
No, I agree with her. I agree with her.
No, you're arguing that it does matter right now. You're arguing that this matters.
No, I'm
because it's stupid and they did it wrong. And
I'm not arguing that it matters now. I'm not saying it is. I'm saying that the point of the conversation is folly. That's the part of it that I don't like. Let's go to Ryan, who wants to chat. Hello, Ryan. You're on ESPN Upstate.
Hey, how are you guys today?
What's up, man?
I'd just like to see some consistency is all. I mean,
right.
I'm a Clemson fan. I'm not horribly upset with the rankings other than the fact that if you're going to hold Clemson's schedule against them, then up to today you have to hold Alabama's schedule against them.
Truth.
You know, everybody knows Alabama's got so far. Now, it'll change, but as of today, has the weakest schedule in Division I football, dead last. So if you're going to put anybody fifth and you're going to claim that it's schedule, at least for this first week, it has to be Alabama. But I would like the host of that show when they interview. I'm different than these other people. I'm a little nervous as a Clemson fan because this community seems boneheaded. I would like for one of those guys, whether it be Kirk Herbstreit or somebody, to ask them, you know, if your job's to pick the four best teams, and it's kind of already been said that Clemson would be about a 2-touchdown favorite against Penn State, you know, does it make sense to put, when they're both undefeated, Clemson fifth, when they would be giving Penn State 2 touchdowns? I mean, it just doesn't make sense to me, but I enjoy the show, guys. Thanks,
Ryan. Appreciate it. It's garbage.
Well, the whole process is ridiculous. I don't think anyone is arguing that it's not. However, just tell us what the criteria are. That way, teams can play, can try to play the game. And if they want to tweak the criteria year in and year out based on what they think over a one-year snapshot can increase the parity and increase competitiveness, mm-hmm. then that's fine.
Of course.
Just tell them what you want and then let these teams go out and do it.
Yeah, that's the part of it that I don't like. And I just don't I just don't like the fact that we don't have a consistent criteria, and it's different things apply to different teams, and because of that, there's just not enough of what I would call a hard and fast objective rule when it comes to these things. There's too much subjectivity. And I know it's what the people inside college football wanted. They wanted more subjectivity on this thing because they were not happy about certain things always rewarding certain teams with the old BCS model. But my whole thing is that this whole exercise doesn't serve the college football world any good. It does not. 844-GSP-ESPN. A little weird schedule today. We're going to do our gambling segment with our good friend Rob Vino today. We had some conflicts on Friday, so he's going to do it today. Same thing goes for Cole Bryson. We'll talk about Burns' playoff game this week against Nation 4. But coming up next, our usual chat with Apal Taj Boyd, former Clemson quarterback, joining us next on ESPN Upstate. We'll take another couple of phones on this, 8844-GSP-ESPN, text line 71307. Guy comes in and says, Georgia has 2 top 10 wins. I mean, not now. They have one. They beat Florida. Again, where you're ranked when you beat somebody does not matter to me.
Why not? That's a revisionist way of looking at it. It's deciding after the fact that that team didn't deserve to be number whatever at the time that they played. But that's also disregarding how good that team played up until that point to get to that ranking.
So
Mr. Judging losses is too penal. You're judging a loss as saying that team was never as good as their ranking was. It was all fluff. It didn't mean anything. They're actually really crappy, even though they might have been number 4 at the time that they played.
The cream rises to the top.
And the what?
The cream that always is, rises to the top.
That's a dumb take.
It's not a dumb
that's
take.
That's a dumb take. Argue something better than that.
He's the whole thing is just folly. Let's go to Vol Nation, who wants to chat in. What's up, man? You're on ESPN Upstate.
Sir, how y'all doing, man?
What's up, dude?
Hey, man. I'm listening to you, man, and you're pretty much on point with this whole system. I wish they would go to more of an NFL system.
Right.
Because, like you said, if they set it up and structured it, it wouldn't be very difficult for them to do it. But see, the thing about it is, the reason why we're having all these issues right now is because we only have 4 slots.
Right.
You got 5 Power 5 conferences. You got all these smaller schools and things that make you like the Memphises and people like that. And those things change frequently every year. But, you know, those guys would never get opportunity to play for a national championship.
I understand. And here's the thing. I've talked about this with Dan Radakovich and Ray Tanner both. The problem is the athletic directors don't want to give up the right to schedule. They don't want to go to a situation where you have scheduling agreements with certain conferences, kind of like we have with the ACC Big Ten Challenge in basketball and the Big 12 SEC Challenge as well. They don't want to go to that model for some odd reason. I don't know why. They don't like it. But if you could do it by order of finish from the previous year, I think that would really create an ability for you to have some turnover, to have a scenario where maybe you have a team that has 2 or 3 losses that still goes to the playoff. And it allows for more parity in college football. I think that would make things a lot more fair, but they don't want to go there. And you're not wrong. The fact that we have only four really is a detriment to the whole system. It's now time, as we usually do at this time every week, talk to our good friend Taj Boyd, who joins us here on ESPN Upstate. I know we missed you last week. I wanted to ask you, because Dabo talked about that that Wofford game that you played and how nervous you were. I have to get the post log on that, because to me, going up there and playing that team and being so close at halftime, I have to think that old Willie Christopher was on you pretty hard.
Well, man, look, you know, you got to realize that the hardest hits I've ever taken came from FCS opponents. So, I got knocked out of the game, I think, against SC State, got a concussion against the Citadel of Wofford, no different. So, you know, it was the Super Bowl for their guys, man. And they performed at a high level where they did. I don't know what happened this past week. You know, it was pretty abysmal on their part. But, you know, the biggest thing you want to see, again, playing against a team like Wofford is execution. You want to see guys perform at a high level. You want to be able to put guys in situations that they necessarily haven't been able to perform in at practice. So getting that depth going. They perform well, man. They look good. I thought that the pieces are starting to come together right here at the right time. And, you know, my particular instance was different because, you know, we got in the second week of the season.
Mm-hmm.
And then we didn't take our first lead till, you know, I think midway through the third quarter. So to have the schedule that we had right after the game, I think it was Auburn, Virginia Tech, Florida State or something like that, was pretty brutal because most teams thought we would get blown out of the water. But little did we know that Wofford game helped prepare us for everything else that was later to come that season. So thankful for Wofford from that standpoint.
Talking to Taj Boyd, former Clemson quarterback, I know that there's probably no man in the upstate of South Carolina happier from what we saw last night on television than Dabo Swinney, because now he knows that his team will have an edge, and you know more than anybody about what he is able to do as a master motivator. What has he got cooked up for the boys here tonight in terms of their motivational palate?
There's no telling, man. I think, you know, it's funny, man, because, outwardly, you know, he'll express one sentiment, but, you know, internally, I know he's burning up, you know, and I know those guys are going to feel that at practice too. So, yeah, he might have the rankings posted up onto the lockers, taped up there, you know, with disrespect written on it or something like that. But to be completely honest, I wasn't really that surprised. I went to the gym at about 7 o'clock last night. Guy was like, well, what do you think? And I was like, I think Clemson comes in at 5. Really no surprise there, to be completely honest. A lot of it is strength of schedule. The one thing I'm kind of confused about with the committee is, you know, what are we doing? Are we doing strength of schedule? Are we doing the eye test? What are we really basing this off of? Because right now there's really no philosophy for it. Now, the one thing that I will say is I am kind of excited about it because I'm interested to see how this whole thing plays out in that what-if scenario. So, for instance, you know, what if Ohio State, Penn State, they play a 3-point game, Ohio State wins? Or what if LSU, Bama is a 3-point game? I do think LSU wins this game for whatever reason. I think they went close. Let's say Georgia goes to the SEC championship, beats LSU. LSU's out, Georgia's in because they won. But does that give Alabama the right to get back in there at that 4 spot? Clemson's going to win out. So there's just so many different scenarios. And I wanted it to be mass confusion, pretty much all-out chaos, which is why I never wanted Oklahoma to lose. I wanted Oregon or somebody to win outright. I wanted Ohio State to win outright. I wanted Bama or LSU to win outright. And I wanted Clemson to win outright. And take one of those one or two lost teams and see what it looks like, because I wanted to see a push for an expansion of the playoff race. Because right now I do think that teams do get slighted based off of what it looks like or what it appears to be. Now, even if you look last year, I don't think that Notre Dame was one of the four best teams in college football. I thought that Georgia was. You know, obviously, I think they had two losses. But we all knew that if Georgia played Notre Dame, Georgia would beat Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I don't know how that plays out right now, but I do know that Clemson, the one thing that you got to realize and people got to look at historically is that if you want to beat Clemson, you got to beat them early in the season.
Oh, yeah.
Right? You know, like, I'm not saying that they're an unbeatable football team. But if you want to beat them, you got to do what Pittsburgh did. You got to do what Syracuse did. You got to beat them in September.
Mm-hmm.
Because once those guys start to learn how to play together, once they start to gel and build that camaraderie, you know, it's a steamrolling pretty much just or a train, a locomotive that's really just getting going. And that's where they're at right now. So I'm excited for this matchup against NC State, and I'm really intrigued by what's going to happen in the Wake Forest game because I do think the Wake Forest is a very good football team. think that Jamie Newman is one of the most underappreciated quarterbacks in college football. They got a great secondary. They got great receivers. You know, they're big. They're long. They can run. And to be completely honest, Clemson has to go out there and pretty much dismantle those guys too, just for the sake of it.
Well, the thing that I want to at least stop down on, especially with Wake Forest, and I will allow us to do the thing that players are not allowed to do, and that's look ahead. But in my mind, looking ahead to Wake Forest, I almost feel like Clemson's kind of in a damned if they do, damned if they don't scenario, in the fact that if they win decisively over Wake Forest, oh, it's what they were supposed to do, and Wake Forest was overrated, and it was not, you know, something that they should have been at ranked in the top 20. But if they lose, if they win a close game or even lose, then it's like, oh, well, you know, that just further proof that the ACC is just not rated what it should be, and it's proof that we were right about Clemson. So I almost feel like Clemson
frustrates me so much with that ACC narrative, because, look, they go out there and they put just stonewall Boston College the entire game. The next week, Boston College goes out there, puts up 50 points against Syracuse, 700 yards of offense, whatever. A.J. Dillon runs 300 yards. I'm like, that conference itself is competitive. They're just not competitive with Clemson. Clemson legitimately got penalized for that North Carolina loss. And look, it is what it is, but, you know, Clemson wins, they're in, but it's just continuously having to prove themselves every year when, in reality, the way I see it is that Clemson is new money, right? They're new blood. The teams that they want to continue to get in and year out based off of whatever merit happens is from what existed in the past. They're basing this off of historical lore, and I don't think that the narrative is the same anymore. So, you know, I think the committee just has to figure out what they want to be, how they want to base this and rank this off of. And I think that this season is going to cause a push for an expansion, just because, again, I don't know. Like Oregon, they look like a pretty good football team, Arizona State as well. But, you know, you lose early. Well, maybe they played their best ball in the back of the back.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You know, so it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting, man. But I wasn't really surprised at the rankings. It's unfortunate that they came in at that spot, but it is the worst thing that could have happened for NC State, because I know that this team's going to come out. They're going to play four quarters. Their star players are going to play for four quarters. I think they're going to put up a massive amount of points and get a massive amount of stops on defense. So.
Talking with Taj Boyd here on ESPN Upstate, ESPNUpstate.com, and the Radio.com app. One of the things that Diesel and I were talking about, and we'll get you out of here on this, do you think that losses are treated as too much of a penalty by the committee, or even just, you know, even not only losses, but even things like strength of schedule, things like that, are basic things that are out of your control, are given too much of a penal directive by this committee?
I do. I don't think. I mean, look, I've always said, especially what's happening right now with the NIL, with the transfer portal. The NCAA right now is making a serious case for these Power Five conferences to govern themselves and for those guys to break away, mainly because it seems like they can't get it right. And I think that these Power Five conferences can. So I like to see more. I like to see more matchups, man. You know, take away the FCS schedule games and just go for gold right away. You know, certainly put the top 25s in there, man. Just turn it into. You know, that's a little stress to turn into the NCAA tournament in basketball, but. You know, let's see some competitiveness, man. Let's see what it looks like going forward on a real schedule. Because again, when you're talking about somebody that is scheduled 8-10 years out in advance, we don't know what that's going to look like. Nobody could have predicted that Florida State was going to look like what they look like, or that you know what I'm saying. So it's just tough, man. And you know, we just scheduled a home and home with LSU in a few years. Well, LSU might be really good or might be really bad. And regardless of the situation, Huntsville would get penalized for that if they came out and had a victory against a team like that. So I think Nick Saban gets the benefit of the doubt, much like Coach K gets the benefit of the doubt at Duke. And is it fair? No. That's just the nature of the beast. And Clemson, all they can do is just continue to perform at a high level and see how it shapes out.
Well, I did want to at least ask you while I had you, what was your take on Tagger getting fired?
I thought it was a little premature. But to be completely honest, I don't think that he necessarily fits he just didn't embody what Florida State is. You know, there's some people out there throwing out the race card and all of that, saying that Chip Kelly, you know, has had more of an opportunity, and I've seen all that. But to me, like, his demeanor just didn't fit what Florida State is built on, what the players are recruited for. And you know, it's unfortunate because I do think that he's a really good coach, but with that particular team, I think they need something of a guy that's arrogant. I think that Jimbo Fisher fit those guys perfectly because he was kind of an a-hole, you know? Mm. He did have this narrative, and those guys perform like that too. So Willie Taggart may be Coach Shaw. They might be the same person. You know what I'm saying? It works in certain organizations, certain universities, just not at Florida State. So
appreciate the time as always, Taj. We will chat next week.
Absolutely, man. Look forward to it.
That's Taj Boyd joining us here on ESPN Upstate. Taj, get me my hands close to the dump button there. Close to the dump button there.
You don't have access to the dump button. I do.
And I know.
I have exclusive access to it. You can say that.
Okay. Just want to be sure. Of all the things I said, by the way, that's what you tweet? of all the things I said over the 43 minutes of the show, that's the one thing that sticks with you?
Yeah.
You are such
because
a jerk.
it's an argument that I hear every single day from college football fans. Well, if you are a mediocre team, let's say you're a number 24 team in America, and you go knock off number 5, you get credit for beating number 5 because they were number 5 when you played them. They were playing at a number 5 level up until that point. That's why they were ranked number 5. You didn't beat a number 5 that for some reason dropped to number 18. You didn't play number 18. You played number 5.
Yeah, but what if number 5 falls like a millstone and has 3 losses at the end of the
year? If they were playing well enough to be number 5 at the time, they were a number 5 team regardless. You can't say all of a sudden that a team that came from unranked to number 5 themselves, you can't say that you beat a number 5 team.
That's why I don't like polls.
You can't say that you beat a number 10 team. A one-loss team is not going to be a number 5. But if a one-loss ends up at number 10 but they started the season unranked, you didn't beat an unranked team. Uh-huh. You didn't beat the number 5 team. You beat a team that was unranked at the time. Uh-huh. So you beat an unranked team. They ended up playing well enough after that to get ranked. Your ranking is a result of how you play.
I still don't like it.
I love how your argument back is stupid phrases like the cream rises to the top.
Because I just don't
like... Willie P, with all your words, use your words, man. Argue with me with words, not smacking your gums.
I'm also aware of the fact that we are very...
Okay. Saved by the bell.
We do have some we have some important news to share with you regarding the Clemson men's basketball team, in addition to their loss last night, which I will share with you here next when we come back. And we'll talk more about this. 844-GSB, ESPN is the phone number. I don't like the rankings coming out this early. I don't like what they're doing to Clemson. I don't like the inconsistency. I don't like anything about it. It's ESPN Upstate.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Just found this out from the folks at Clemson. The immediate eligibility waiver for the transfer from Fordham, Nick Honor, the 5'10 guard, who was going to be a sophomore this year, 3 years of eligibility, had an opportunity to try and come here, play immediately. He had his eligibility waiver denied by the NCAA. He will have to redshirt this year. He is from Orlando, went to Lake Highland High School there, but played at Fordham up in Brooklyn, or up the Bronx, I should say. Started all 32 games, led the team in points, was an Atlantic 10 all-rookie team guy, but he's not going to be able to play this upcoming season, and because of that, hampers Clemson's roster a little bit. Interesting to note that they did get an immediate eligibility waiver for their other transfer in the kitty, and that was Kevon Moore, also a sophomore from Macon, Georgia. He played at Texas Tech. So you'd mean to tell me that it's okay to have a guy in Georgia transfer back here and play right away, but not Orlando. What's the distance between Macon and Clemson versus Orlando and Clemson? How negligible is that distance?
Probably within about 500 miles.
See what I mean about inconsistency?
The NCAA is ridiculous on this transfer stuff.
NCAA and inconsistency is their middle name. It's with the transfer stuff. It's with the rankings. Why we pay coaches $9.3 million, but the players get nothing. I mean, all this stuff. It's the whole thing is just it's a shrewd misrepresentation of logic. Delvin in Fountain Inn wants to chat. Delvin, you're on ESPN Upstate. Go ahead,
hey
Delvin.
Hey guys, how y'all doing?
What's up, man?
Hey guys, how y'all doing?
Well, good, Delvin. What's up?
This whole thing, what got me funny about this, he came out and talking about, well, you know, Penn State had a good win over Pitt. Yeah, that was a close win at home. They barely did beat Pitt. Because we're on the road, yeah, they barely beat North Carolina, but they beat them. And I understand but they almost lost at home, so I don't get that logic about Rob Mullins. And then, he said, and then he said, did he contradict it? Well, he said, I looked at the eye test, and I think that Alabama is better than Penn State. But then he said, well, the resume team was better for Penn State over Clemson. So let me get this straight. So you looked at the eye test one team for Penn State and Alabama, but you looked at the resume for Clemson and Penn State. Why didn't you look at the eye test?
I struggle to figure because they'll use certain criteria to justify one team. And then other criteria to browbeat others. By the way, that Pitt team is a 6-3 team that beat Georgia Tech by 10. They beat Georgia Tech by 10. And Georgia Tech is horror-awful. Clemson played them at the beginning of the year, and we saw them, and they were horror-awful. Clemson beat them 52-14. So you mean to tell me that Clemson is behind in the rankings to a team that Pitt could only beat Georgia Tech by 7. And yet, that's the team that they're behind? Again, this is why the transitive property in this whole thing stinks. So, let me follow my logic here. Penn State beats Pittsburgh by 7. Pittsburgh beats Georgia Tech by 10. Clemson houses Georgia Tech 52-14. And yet Penn State is in front of Clemson? Really? That's what we're going off of? Also, Pittsburgh beat Duke by only three. Alabama beat them by a mile. And yet, Alabama's three. There's not more of a gap between Alabama and Penn State. This whole thing's stupid. The whole thing stinks. Okay, do you see how ridiculous this all sounds?
It's Thor Ragnarok, dude. It's that world where nothing makes any sense. But in the end, it all kind of works.
My buddy Mark is saying, please stop. Not our Mark. A different Mark. He said, please stop. So I'm going to stop. 844-GSP, ESPN is the phone number. Text line is at 71307. I've gotten about all the mileage I want to out of this. Does time heal all wounds at a program that could be considering a rendezvous, one of the two programs that is without a head coach in all of college football? It's next on ESPN Upstate. Yeah, could you explain that Thor thing to me?
Yeah, did you not see Thor Ragnarok?
No. Do I look like somebody who watches that?
In that movie, Thor somehow gets spit out on a world where nothing really makes any sense. Up is down, left is right.
Kind of like
nothing makes any sense, and Jeff Goldblum is leading the whole thing.
Kind of like the alternate universe that the Jack Sparrow character gets in that one Pirates of the Caribbean.
A little bit. It's, nothing really makes any sense, yeah. But that's what makes it fun.
I don't think it's fun.
It's okay. You're not from here, so you wouldn't get it. His face is now as red as our ESPN Upstate logo sitting right in front of his chin.
That's not very nice. Speaking of rendezvous, for people going back to where they're from, Greg Schiano apparently is being lured by the fine folks at Rutgers. You remember Schiano? He used to coach Rutgers. Then he went to the NFL. Then he went to Ohio State. And he had a very much ballyhooed about flirtation with Tennessee when that job was open after Butch Jones was fired. And then Clay Travis and all the stupid people who tried to keep him from getting that job successfully did so. And so Schiano is looking for a new gig and apparently might end up finding it with Rutgers.
Do they not realize how bad this works out every time they do it?
What, the sequel?
Yeah.
The sequel is never...
It never goes well. Like, I get why fans love it because it makes them feel good, but
ask Oakland how well the Jake Gruden rendezvous was working out.
Ask Louisville how the Petrino thing worked out.
No, that didn't work out. Randy Edsall at UConn, that one's not working.
The only one that looks like it might work is maybe Mac Brown at North Carolina.
Philip Fulmer at Tennessee. Too soon? Too soon? Maybe they can resurrect Bobby Bowden down there in Tallahassee. I know he's still alive, but like you know what I mean. Like,
yeah.
In a younger version. That's kind of what...
I hear Tommy's not doing anything.
Neither is Terry.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.